If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to ask you to look at the 84th division of the Psalms. Psalm 84. Read the psalm in your hearing this morning. Appreciate the dear prayer that's been offered and love the closing. I love you, Lord. We know we love Him because He first loved us. If He had not loved us, we would have never loved Him. And He loved us a long time before we knew anything about Him or ever had a love to love Him with. And I know only God can give you that statement in your heart if you really mean it. I love you, Lord. Thank God for that. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. The psalmist here says how amiable. The word used only one time in our King James Bibles means really altogether lovely, beautiful. How lovely. How wonderful, glorious. How tremendous the house of God is, the tabernacles of the Lord. How valuable it is. How beautiful it is. How lovely it is. As we already said, the hymn writer wrote, behold, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee. We know under the old law service there was the tabernacle that followed Moses and was with Moses in the wilderness, given by direction of God and as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and all he would do in his death and his burial and his resurrection at Calvary and the washing that we needed of our sins away by Jesus. The old law tabernacle is a great, great thing to study. As you look at that beautiful picture of the tabernacle and all that's there, you'll see Jesus in every piece of furniture. You'll see Jesus in every article. You'll see Jesus in every sacrifice. You'll see Jesus in the garment that the high priest wore, and you'll see Jesus in the high priest. You'll see Jesus in the gold. You'll see Jesus in the wood. You'll see Jesus in his humanity. You'll see Jesus in his divinity. You'll see Jesus, if you really understand it, in all that was given in the tabernacle. That's why it was beautiful. From the outside, didn't look like much. Just looked like a big tent. Nothing outwardly beautiful about that tabernacle. No doubt many would look at it and see those children of Israel. If they saw them in the wilderness, they'd think, what a bunch that is. They just stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked people wandering in the wilderness. But they were a people that were special. Not because they were the most numerable people in the world. Not because they had done something to make themselves special, but they were special because God had made choice of the nation of Israel, of the people of Israel. God had, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. God made choice and had a love for them. And And he drew them, and he gave unto them, gave unto Moses the law, and all of the law pointed to Christ, and Christ came and fulfilled that law, and set up another place that we're in today, in the New Testament church, that is even better and more beautiful. Doesn't look like much on the outside. Just a group of old people. Got some young ones here today. Most of the time, don't have so many of them. Thankful to have them. It ought to be filled with the young and the old. Listen, this is a place for the young. It's a place for the old. It's a place to feed the lambs and the sheep. It's a place where we hear about what the Old Testament tabernacle pointed to, the one who has come, and we hear about what he's done when in his coming and in his death and in his burial and his resurrection. And we hear about the one where a brother can stand before us and with the Spirit of God leading him, said, Lord, thank you for saving me. Didn't save ourselves, did we? Couldn't save ourselves. Wouldn't save ourselves. We didn't even know we were lost. We didn't even understand how bad off we were. We wouldn't understand without the vision given to us in God's Word, in the light of His Word, that we and Adam fell into a tremendous need. And in Adam, we fell in sin. We knew we had a problem, but we didn't know why we had the problem. We knew sin was mixed in all that we did, but we didn't understand why it was that in our bloodline, our natural fleshly bloodline, we have received from our mothers and our fathers and our grandmothers and our grandfathers an inheritance, in the sense we were all, are by nature, the children of wrath. We were born in sin, the Bible says, and shapen in iniquity, which means we were sinners by nature, and as soon as we're able, we sin in practice. And there's a wage of sin written about in the Scripture. The wages of sin is death. But that's not all it says. It said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can't appreciate salvation until you really realize how lost we were. You see, if man is a pretty good fellow and just needs a little help, there isn't a whole lot to be thankful for. But if you understand what the Bible says about man and the detailed account of him in the Scripture, in him, in his nature, in his own righteousness, his very best is but his filthy rags, his worst, how bad is it? I mean, we have every part of us that's in need. We have our mind, our heart, our tongue, our hands, our feet, all about us. Sin is not only completely, even the child of God mixed in all that we do. If it had not been for God's grace, all that we do, even what we would consider good, would be sinful. Because it's not by faith, it's sin. And if it's not in love to God, it's sin. And man by nature has no faith to believe in God, and by nature he has no love for God. If you have love for God, it's because the fruit of the Spirit has been planted in your life and the Spirit is in your heart. And if you have faith to believe in God, it's because the Lord has quickened you and made you alive. And so if you believe in the Lord today, it means you're alive. And if you have life, it's eternal. And though you're not worthy, and I'm not worthy, and no man is worthy, in Christ we've been made accepted. We are made worthy in Christ. And He saved me. Not me and Him got it done. I'm not worried about what He does, but I know what I would do. I'd make a mess. How about you? Feel like you want to have that responsibility of getting yourself to heaven and immortal glory? I have a hard time getting across town. And I have things get in my way when I'm trying to do right. I have thoughts that enter into my mind when I'm thinking things that I don't want to think. Even when I've done the things that God has told me to do in exactly the right way, the Bible teaches me I'm just an unprofitable servant. I've only done that which is my duty to do. I'll never be able to bring God, the righteous God of heaven, under obligation to me. So if salvation is by works, we're in trouble. The facts of the matter is salvation is by grace. Listen, the reason His tabernacles are beautiful is because the place declares His grace from the top to the bottom in everything that's done. How amiable, altogether lovely, are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And notice who owns the tabernacle. This is not Gary's church. No more than the Lord's given it to me as mine. And I love to think about that. This is not your church. You know, we say it's my church. We say it's, this is our church. Rather than when we really get down to it, we understand and always say, even as we say it's ours, it's only ours because He has given it to us. And we as that little sparrow that's found a place to nest, as a little sparrow that's looking for a place to live and a place to raise their young and found a house and a shelter. We as that little sparrow have found a place that we didn't build, we didn't make, but that rather has been given to us by the Lord. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't have loved it or wanted it or had anything to do with it if God hadn't moved in our life in a way for us to be able, we would never have seen it. He says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. We read in Psalm 65 and verse 4. Something that tells us very much about this place. Psalm 65 and verse 4 says this. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Now notice that. Somebody say, well, I'm here because I chose to be here. Well, I hope there is a part and a responsibility on our part to do some choosing. But until the Lord has chosen us, until the Lord has worked in us, we have nothing to be able to work out. It isn't us who've done something, it's He who's done something for us. And the Bible here says, blessed is the man. That means you've been blessed. Whom thou choosest. That means the one He chooses. And by the way, according to Ephesians, that choice was made a long time before we had any opportunity to make a choice. And if it had been left up to us, we would have, by the nature, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. If it had been left up to us to choose him or this house or his place, and to be here this morning to worship him, there would have been none of us here. Not one of us. But you came, didn't you? I don't think anybody, some of these young ones might be drug in and can't hardly wait till it's over, but not all of them. I know there are a lot of them that are here this morning because they see a value here. They feel something in the singing of the hymns. They feel something when they hug the brother's and sister's neck. They feel something when a brother bows his knees and prays. Their heart is moved. Sometimes they don't understand why it's moved, but their heart is moved when they hear that name Jesus. There's something wonderful about that name. There's something glorious. The one who is in the Old Testament, the one who is Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Listen, that's Jesus. The Everlasting Father, that's Jesus. And He's the Prince of Peace. And if you're going to have one day of peace in your life, it'll be by Him. No peace anywhere else in this world. Man's looking for peace, but he'll never find it. And without the Lord, you won't find it. Without the Lord, I won't find it. But in the Lord, I can have it. Not only in the Lord can I have it, the Lord is my peace. If He is in my heart, and I submit unto Him in the sense not that He isn't already in control and in power, because you can't make Him God. He's already God. Listen, God is God, whether I acknowledge it or not. But I'll tell you what, in my heart and in my mind, when I acknowledge it, I get at peace. When I start thinking I'm boss, y'all never do that, do you? You ever get to thinking you're boss? Usually you get upset with what's going on. You get upset with how it's turning out. You get upset with the circumstances. You get upset with the bumps in the road. You get upset when the guy up in front of you is in your way and you want to get around him, and you get upset. Even not even knowing that guy up in the way may be keeping you from some horrible event right around the bend. Listen, God's hand is on the lives of every one of His children. It's on it every day, every hour, every moment. It's been there from the time He made you. And He's the one who made it. I don't care what anybody says about it. I know what the Word of God says, that He's the one who formed and fashioned us in our mother's womb. And He's the one who gave us life. And He's the one who's been with us down through the ages. And we owe Him everything. That's why His courts ought to be the most important place for you and I to be in our lives. And I'll tell you, if you miss them and leave them, you'll dry up. You'll wither. You won't die completely, but you'll get like that little heath bush in the desert. Oh, heath bush is that kind of plant that you see out in the desert that looks like it's dead. It doesn't look like it's living at all. It's so dried up, it can't see anything but desert. It can't see the good when it's there. It can't feel the rain. It doesn't get the rain. And if it does rain, it doesn't have any response to the rain. It's a bush that's dried up because it's trusting in man. It's trusting in as a little child of God, it's life. It's living, but it's not trusting in the living God. And there's a tree that is planted by the waters and that is trusting in the Lord. And I'll tell you, that tree can't see when evil comes. That means when the trouble comes, as this passage will tell us, when the weeping comes and the bitterness comes, and that place comes, they make it a well. Whole lot here. Let me get this fourth verse. Blessed is the man who now chooses and causes. Get that. Causes. Y'all think God makes you do stuff you don't want to do? I'll tell you what. If you're here today, He's worked in you something you didn't have. He's done something in your heart that you would not have done. Now, I will tell you this. There is a responsibility on the part of God's children to work out what God has worked in and to listen to what the Lord would have us, what He's told us to do. And what He's given us to do as His children, what He's given us the ability to do and the will to do, He's not going to do for us. There's something that is required of us. The Bible teaches if much is given, there's much required. And He holds us accountable for doing that which He would have us to do. He will chasten us in disobedience. And He will pour abundant blessings upon us in obedience. And you'll miss some blessings if you're disobedient. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all have spent some nights like I have, tossing and turning, trying to sleep because of something you said or something you did or some behavior you acted in. Or something God called you on account about. Y'all had some hours where you knew the preacher didn't call you out. And mom and daddy didn't call you out. And my wife or husband didn't call me out. But the Lord called me out. The Lord spoke to me. And He said, no, you're not right there. No, I'm not going to let you get by with that. There is one with whom we must do. You believe that? And I'll tell you, if you think you can get along without Him, you will find yourself in a waste, howling wilderness. You'll find yourself cold and alone and barren. You'll feel like a heath bush. You won't be dead, but you'll feel like you're living in a wilderness. And a whole lot of God's children are right there today. I want you to know there's those who trust in the Lord, and they're blessed of the man that trusts in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the waters, and the roots of that tree run deep. And when the drought comes, listen, the tree that's planted by the water gets the drought just like the heath bush. But when the drought comes, that tree makes it fine because its roots are not in himself or anyone else. It's in the one. Listen, there's one who cannot fail us. No more than he can deny himself. Can you see today we have a power and a strength in the Lord that you and I can trust in and lean on? And if we try to do it ourselves, we will go without. But as we look to the Lord and trust in Him, we will find that which He has given to us. And the reason we're able to do that is because He has worked in us. He caused us to approach unto Him that He may dwell in thy courts. Listen, the only way I'm able to dwell in His courts isn't because I got it good enough, right enough. I've lived right enough. Isn't because I went through the waters of baptism. Isn't because I'm sitting at the communion table. Isn't because I'm a member of this church or that church. Listen, all of those things are blessings that we ought to take part of that the Lord has given us. And there are commandments that we're told to follow. But unless the Lord has worked in us and done a work for us that we could not do, all of those things won't mean a thing. Our salvation is, eternally speaking, is certainly not based in those things. It's based in the work of a Savior on a cross some 2,000 years ago. When He knew you, and I pray He knew me. And there at Calvary, He said, "Father, forgive them." And He took our sins in His own body. And at Calvary, He died and paid a sin debt we could not pay. I want you to see what He did for you. So much so that you can't hardly wait to get to His courts. You say, "Well, what's so valuable about His courts?" Listen, His courts is where you come to praise Him. It's where I come to thank Him. I got a lot of thanking to do, don't you? I got some people in this world I need to thank that sometimes I miss and get reminded of. I should have thanked them and should have done this. But I'm telling you, the Lord of glory, I'll never thank Him enough. I have a place He's provided for me to come and thank Him. I have a place that He's provided for me in the ordinance of baptism. I have a place where I can come and openly profess Him, that I believe that Jesus is Lord and that I want to follow Him in that which He has commanded me to do, and going to the waters of baptism and being immersed and being brought out as a picture of what Jesus did in His death and His burial and His resurrection. Listen, not one single sin gets washed down the river in baptism. It is simply a picture of my trust and my faith is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also a commitment that I don't want to just be baptized and run off, but I want to be baptized and I want to follow Him as His disciple. A whole lot was said in the prayer this morning. It was quiet. I don't know how many of you could really hear it, but I heard it. I want to follow Him. I want to give Him my all. I want to do what He would have me to do. I want to take up my cross and follow Him. I don't want to just walk in the waters of baptism, but I want to live. I want it to change my talk and my walk and my behavior. I want it to be that which honors Him. Not to praise me, and I'm certainly not trying to do that this morning. I don't want to do that in any way. There's only one I want to praise this morning. But I'll tell you what, whenever I see a little work of grace, and I see it all over this room, I thank God, because I know it would, if it had not been for Him, you wouldn't want to be here. You wouldn't be praising Him. You wouldn't have cared about Amazing Grace. You wouldn't be praying to Him when your family gets in trouble. You wouldn't be praying to Him when you have needs. You wouldn't know where to come. Listen, He has provided for us a tabernacle, a place of worship. Not only in the Old Testament age, but a better place in the New Testament age. And yet there's one better to come. Whew, gets excited. What we have here in this world is a great place, but I'm telling you, what they're enjoying in heaven is a perfect place, a perfect tabernacle. I hope you like worship down here, because that's what's going to happen in heaven. Somebody said, when we get to heaven, we're going to do this and that, and they're going to be fishing and golfing and this and that. I'm telling you what you're going to be doing. You're going to be church. It's going to be church. It's going to be worship. And I'm not talking about the natural kind of thing. I'm talking about heaven is described as a throne. And as you see the picture of heaven, you see a worship service. You see a place of worship and praise being given to God, not only by all of God's children, but by all of the angels. I'm telling you, you're talking about a time. I've had some good times here, trying my best to worship the Lord down here below. I've sat in some meetings where the tears ran down my face. I have had that hug necks where I couldn't express my words as they were going out the door. I love it when God's little children are so in love with the Lord, at the end of the meeting they don't want to leave. They just hang around. It's sad when you're at a meeting and you're up front and you speak to one or two people and you look back and the place is empty. It shows there's a lack of something. You see, I love you, brethren. I need your encouragement. I need your fellowship. I need to hear what the Lord has done for you. And I need to share with you what the Lord has done for me, so that you and I might see what a great Lord we have. So that his tabernacle, he says, his tabernacles. Let me get back over to that. If I do. Psalm 84, he said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." He says, "My soul," listen, "my soul longeth, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord." How has it been with you? And I'll just ask you to be honest. Is that the way you feel about church? I hope it is. I'll tell you, there sometimes it's not that way with me. I wish it was that way all the time. But there have been times, and a lot more lately, where I just can't hardly wait for the weekend. Especially when I'm going to get to hear somebody else. Listen, when if I got to preach, I get scared to death. And then, you know, Brother Bobby, as we was riding back from the meeting yesterday, he looked at me and he said, "Well, are you okay? What's wrong with you?" And he was just looking what Sharon looks at every Sunday morning on the way to church. Just a preacher who's worried about the meeting. I have a burden. Because the message I have that the Lord's given me is the most important message in this world. It's a message of a Savior who truly saved. Of a one who loved you before the foundation of the world. One who has not only done all you need to be in heaven, but has also taken care of everything you need right now. I don't know what your needs are this morning. You may be weighed down and burdened down beyond anything I can imagine. But I'm telling you, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a rock that will not fail you in the storm. He will be there as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will move in ways you can't imagine as you lean and trust in Him. And sometimes it's not working out the way you want, but believe me, it's working out as He wants it. And His want, it's not a want. He is as He has purposed it. And I'm not saying to you today that every single activity and action is that God is responsible for that, because He is not the responsible, He is not the author of sin. But I'm telling you, our God is on the throne. He has not left the throne, and He is in control. Sometimes His children act in disobedience, and He chastens them. And when He gets them through that, they're better off after the chastening than they were before. Isn't that true? Every little mama and daddy who's ever chastened a child, in whatever way you do it, I know how mine did it. And at the time, I didn't appreciate it, but I know this, it helped me. It was a benefit to me. My grandmother apologized for all the times she used to spank me, and I thought of all the times she missed a few. Now, there were some times she didn't. She knew what that little maple, she knew how to swing a maple, you know, especially when you, I won't go into all that. But that was nothing compared to what sometimes I get sitting on a pew when the preaching is in power and demonstration of the Spirit. When the Word of God comes like Nathan came to David and points you out. Aren't you glad He pointed you out? You know why He pointed David out? Because He loved David. David was a man after His own heart who had transgressed God's law and got lifted up and done a horrible thing. But God didn't throw him completely away. As a matter of fact, God came to where he was, sent a messenger to him with the message he needed to bring David to a place of repentance, where David was willing to write that 51st Psalm, which if you read that, you'll see he begged God for forgiveness. The Bible says he was faithful and just to forgive us. The tabernacle is a place where you come, where the altar of sacrifice is. If you look at the Old Testament tabernacle, you'll see one of the first things you see as you come into the tabernacle is the altar of sacrifice, a burnt sacrifice. And I'm telling you, what that says is without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, and the only way inside of this place is through the blood of Jesus. You believe that, don't you? The only way you could ever enter the heaven's door in prayer is through the blood of Jesus. The only way I could sing Amazing Grace and be heard in heaven is the blood of Jesus. The only way I could walk in the waters of baptism is through the blood of Jesus. And the only way I could set a communion table and remember the body and blood of Jesus is through His shed blood. And the only way I have fellowship with the children of God in this world or will ever have it in heaven is through the blood of Jesus. My salvation isn't what I did for the Lord. It's what He did for me. And what He did for me was complete and perfect. And what you'll see in the altars, in the tabernacle, testify of that all the time. If somebody's saying something else, then they've got some piece of furniture that didn't belong. See, Moses was given the exact thing to put in the tabernacle. If they drug something else in there, it wouldn't have been right. If they left something out, it wouldn't be right. And the New Testament church is just that way. He says, "My soul longeth." Oh, I hope yours longs. Can't wait to get there. I need to hear. I need to feed. Sometimes you come in and it's not as warm as it is at other times. What do you do then? Pray, Lord, make it warmer. Sometimes the singing's a little dry and dull. You know, we just don't feel it. What do? Lord, warm up my heart. Warm up my spirit. I tell you, you get into some of the old writings of some of the old brethren in the history of this church. When they had cold times, they had them, just like we have them. You know what they did? They prayed. They say, God bless us. God, stir. Stir. We feel a coldness. And they admitted it, confessed it to the Lord. And sometimes we have it in our lives, don't we? Y'all been through some of those times. Lord, stir our hearts. Lord, revive us. Lord, help us remember what thou hast done for us so that we would praise thee and honor thee and recognize our need of thee. He says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Notice, not just their heart that cried out, but their flesh. This has an effect on all of you. It'll affect where your body goes. It'll affect what your body does. It'll affect how you act, behave. At least it should. When it doesn't, then we're missing it. He says, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. The other altar that we have in the tabernacle is that altar of incense. And when we offer up prayers unto the Lord, there's only one way we're heard. You can't come into the tabernacle without the shedding of blood, and you can't be heard in heaven without an intercessor. Isn't it wonderful to know we got a high priest like no other high priest? Our high priest not only offered the blood of lambs, he didn't offer that. He offered his own precious blood. He was the Lamb of God which took away the sin of the world. He was the high priest who offered himself once unto God, who has opened the heavens so that you and I can bow down in our closet at home. You can go right in your closet. I don't mean your literal closet, but if you got one of those, nothing wrong with it. You go and shut the world out. What that mean? And you take your burdens to the Lord and you leave them there. Listen, He can help a student on a test. He can help a teacher in a classroom. He can help anyone in what area or point they are in their life, whatever mess you're in or not in. Wherever you are, you need Him. You need Him today. You'll need Him tomorrow. You'll need Him until you die. And when you die, you'll need Him. We need Him. I need Thee. How often? Every hour. Need Thee every hour. Every hour I need Thee. And the good news is He's always there. Brethren, if you're able, listen, hear me. I can't make you believe this. I can't give you faith. But if God has given you faith, you trust in by the faith He's given you in the living God, and it, you'll be as the promises of God, as a tree planted by the waters. And you can't even see when evil comes. Doesn't mean evil's not going to come, but you won't see it. It's the way you look at everything. It's the way you look at what's going on. Sometimes we look at everything, we can't see any good. Well, we're not trusting in the Lord. What's beautiful is when you look and see God's handiwork and see what God has done. And though things aren't like they ought to be, there's a God who can change them, isn't it? There's a God, if I need something, who can grant me those needs. Not only can He said if we ask, we will receive. If we'd ask not, we will have not. But if we ask Him, and that doesn't mean we'll receive everything that we want, but it'll certainly mean He'll meet every need that we have. And when as I've said before, and it's kind of falling all the time back into my words, if your wants and your needs are not the same, you got some problems. And when your wants and your needs are the same, and that's in the Lord, and if our wants and our needs are the same, then we can say, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because my wants become in line with my needs, and my needs are what He would have me to have. And if He gives it to me, I must have needed it. And if He doesn't give it to me, I guess I didn't need it. And how often? You know, it's easy for me to share that with my daughter when she has a problem. It's hard for me to pick it up and put it on me when I have a problem. It's easy to preach it here in this pulpit. It's a little different practicing it when I get out of the pulpit. But I'm telling you, I need to. And I need your encouragement to do that. And we need to encourage one another. That's what the That's what this place is for. The house of the Lord, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, made up of the Lord's people. He says, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I want you to know who it is we're here for. It's the Lord of hosts. I'm telling you, we got the Lord of hosts. I don't know what other gods are in this world. They can have them. The little G's of this old world, there are many of them. There are gods many. But I'll tell you, our God is the one true and living God. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. He is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He has not changed, nor will He change. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's the Holy Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is with you as you go along in this world. And as you look to Him, He'll lead you. He will guide you. He'll let you know when to keep your mouth shut. And He'll let you know when to talk. He'll help you in raising your family. He'll help you as you're working on the job. He'll help you when you get sick. When your body starts breaking down and we don't feel as we once did, He is able, and not only able, He will supply what we stand in need of. We just simply need to trust Him. Only believe. And the believing even comes from Him. So we never get to the place where we go like, oh boy, I got this down. Because if you get on that, you get back right back into a works thing. And men love that. The old nature of man is to get that way. We want to not go with that nature. We want to go with this inner man. Your trust is in the Lord. He said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. See, it's not just show up once in a while. It means dwell. That means I want to be there when the meetings. I want to come. I want to be there. I want to attend. I want to search the scripture. I want to feed on His word. I don't want to just show up on Sunday either and then put it off, you know. Put on one coat on Sunday and then wear another coat all week long and then put that coat or hat or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, if somebody says you wear a lot of hats, we as God's children want to be wearing one hat. And that's we're serving the Lord. That's our desire. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have a lot of vocations and things to walk in that. But in whatever we do, ultimately, we are answerable to the Lord. Y'all agree with that? Makes it different the way you act, if you think about that. Makes you different. It makes a difference how you respond. He said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. That means that's what we're here to do, to praise Him. And then the word Selah. Selah means stop and think about that. And there are several of them here in this passage. Really, it's a pause. It's a place where you pause. And you think, it's like amen in the scripture. It's like yes. It's like that's the truth. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, passing through that valley of Baca, that word Baca simply means weeping. And where you're a place where you're just brokenhearted. You've been there? Notice God's little children who go from strength to strength, who are following the Lord, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. That means it becomes not just a hard, difficult place, but a place of growth. A well is a good thing, isn't it? You need a boy. If we didn't have wells, we'd be in trouble. Nothing like a well. A well is a wonderful thing. In the desert, a well is it's life. It's a place where you feed. It's a place, and when you go to a place of weeping, you can. It's hard, makes you, but it makes it a well. And the rain also filleth the pools. Means the blessings of the Lord come in our lives. I think of that scripture that says we rejoice in tribulation also in Romans 5, because it says tribulation. Now, how does tribulation affect God's little children who trust in the Lord? And how could we rejoice in tribulation? Sounds strange, doesn't it? To the world, it's totally ridiculous. But to God's little children, they have an understanding of that. He says to rejoice in tribulation. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience. It means you wait on the Lord. And patience works experience, which means when you wait on the Lord comes through, and you have the experience of God's deliverance. If you've never been in trouble, you've never experienced deliverance. But if you've been in trouble in the past, then you patiently wait on the Lord. In the Lord, have you noticed in the Lord's time He delivers? Sometimes I'm murmuring, But I ought not be. I ought to be patiently waiting. And how do I learn to wait? Well, I need a little tribulation. Do I like tribulation? No. But as sure as I'm in this world, the Bible says I'm going to have it. And if I have tribulation, I have that. Here's the valley of Baca. I'm going to weep. And I have tribulation. So I go to the Lord. Be patient. And patience works experience. And then experience works something. Experience works hope. And what does that mean? That means I've experienced His grace, so I'm hoping the next time I have something, I've got Him. Oh, I'm telling you, I've been in trouble before. I've had this is not the first trouble I've seen. The children of Israel didn't see just one trouble. They've been in, if they had remembered how the Lord had delivered them, remember what He told the children, the disciples, when they didn't have, they had forgotten to bring bread, and they said, "Oh, we don't have bread. Like, what are we going to do?" And they had forgotten He just fed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes, and then 4,000 with a few loaves, 7 loaves and some fishes. And He had just done that, and He tells them, you know, beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. And they go like, oh, it must be thinking we didn't have any bread. And you go like, how foolish could they be? And yet I look at my own life, and I get through one problem, and I think, how am I going to make it? Got SOL test coming this coming week. How am I going to make it? And believe me, that may not seem like much to y'all, but you can ask my wife. It has kept me up at night. So where do I need to go with that? Leah calls from Farmville. Just a little trouble. And you know, you think we'll get through that one. And y'all got your own Leahs. Y'all got, you know what I'm talking about. And you hear this little trouble. If you don't have them, hang in there a while. You'll get them. They'll come. You're going to have some troubles. And it never seems to end. You get through one, you go like, feel good for a while. Next thing, another one hits. And then two hits. And as you get older, they hit more often. And you're less able. And you get weary, and you're weak. And it says experience. You need experience, because experience, tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. It means I'm trusting in the Lord. And guess what hope does? It makes you not ashamed. I'm telling you, when you're hoping in the Lord, you don't really care what other people think. You go like, listen, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm leaning on Him. You may think I'm crazy, but this God has helped me. This God gave me life. This God has preserved me. This God, I believe, is going to come get me one day and take me to glory. This God can help my children. This God can help my family. This God can help me be what I'm supposed to be. This God can bless this little church. This God can help me preach the gospel. This God can help you hear the gospel. This God can feed us and earn it. And as we look to Him, no matter what the trouble, no matter what you're going through this morning, I'm saying to you, trust in the Lord. He will not fail. Cannot fail. When you do that, you get the valley of bitterness, you just make it a well. I'm in some trouble. Well, make it a well. Somebody says, you know, you next time somebody comes out, let me tell you all this trouble stuff. Just make it a well. That's what the scripture says. What does that mean? That means trust in the Lord. And just watch. And wait. Wait patiently. Sometimes you got to wait a long time. Have you ever thought about Joseph in prison? Don't you think he probably was going like, Lord, you said you'd do this, but this just don't seem like it's working. You ever got there? How many times? Brethren, I'm saying when you prayed and you feel like giving up, keep praying. You keep asking. You keep begging. When you feel like you don't have faith enough to ask, you say, Lord, help my unbelief. When you've cried out and you feel like you can't cry anymore, cry one more time. Cry again. And if you can't find that energy, say, Lord, give me the strength to cry. And He will. He will. How do you know that with such authority? The Bible says He will. It isn't what I say. It's what His Word says. He will. I can't do anything in me, but the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That means I go from strength to strength. You know what that means? That means the strength I had today was good for today, but I got tomorrow coming. I'm going to need strength for tomorrow. And guess who is going to supply that strength? The one who supplied today's strength. I got hope for that because He's shown me. I've got experience that tells me I should have hope, and my hope makes me not ashamed. I'm trusting in Him, and I want to profess that I'm trusting in Him. Okay. I keep going over time. Sorry about that. Y'all said you're sorry, but you don't stop. You just You can be sorry all you want. It's kind of like my kids go, like, I'm sorry. I go, like, well, that doesn't help me a bit. I'm sorry I didn't do my homework. Well, that don't help me a bit. You still didn't do your homework. And so I'm sorry. I keep going over, but I keep doing it. Well, I love you, dear brethren. And we need the Lord. We need the Lord of this church. We need the Lord in our individual lives. You need the Lord in your family. I know you know that. But I want to tell you that you have a Lord that's worthy of your trust and your praise and your dependence. And a day in His courts better than a thousand. And it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the highest mansions of this world that are the tents of wickedness. Listen, world make fun, let them make fun. Don't be ashamed. And make it not ashamed. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Three seventeen. Love you, my brother.